welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to take a look at a few passages of Scripture. First, starting off in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So here, see here in verse 16, we're kind of bidden to come. He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Here's another passage in James, kind of a similar concept and thought. Verse 5, he says, "Or do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." As you look at some of these scriptures, you can see here in verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And Hebrews says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, these are like places that we're going to. You know, you can, and I'm very thankful in our, you know, church age and day we live in the increase of teaching on who we are in Christ. Praise God. We've needed to find out, you know, that when we received Christ, we didn't just get a rubber stamp put on us or some kind of a, you know, an association affiliation. You know, John says, to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become children of God. That's a whole lot more than just being in the born-again Christian camp. There is something that happened when you received Christ. Power happened. You know, Colossians says you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Corinthians, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he says, you were by nature a child of wrath. But we are no longer by nature a child of wrath. I am now by nature a child of God. God changed my nature because I got born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, he didn't say, Nicodemus, you need to get religion. He said, Nicodemus, you need to get born again. And that's what happens when somebody receives Christ. They receive power to receive a new nature, to be changed. Praise God. And that is really, I believe, the truths in these last days that are coming forth that are ushering in that glorious church that's going to be part of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are very important truths, knowing who we are in Christ. Now, that being said, I say that almost as a disclaimer. I know that. I've been enjoying that. Remember in my life, it was 1986 when I really first dug in and got hold of that truth and just absolutely changed my life. But sometimes I've just noticed in the getting of these wonderful, amazing in him, in Christ truths, sometimes we almost lose sight of some of the other scriptures because we tend to think one-dimensional on that. In other words, as you're looking at this, verse 8, James is saying, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Well, I know who I am in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. James, don't you know that God is already in me? Why would I have to draw near to him? He's already in me. And James is saying, yes, he knew that. He was wondering if you knew it, actually, in verse 5. Or do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Yes, James had the revelation that the Spirit of God dwelt in him. He knew that already. And yet, He was bidding people to draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Well, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yes, we know that. He's saying, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. When you received Christ, you became a child of God. And something that you find out about Christianity, I don't know how, whatever, as our theology grows and we learn and find out who we are in Christ, you will never lose the element of relationship in your walk with God. You never get so high up in the heavenly places that he is just a collection of spiritual theory and principles. As you walk with the Lord, as you find out who you are in him, you find out that this walk is very, very personal. It is wonderfully personal. And a concern that I've seen, you know, as we've grown and found out who we are in Christ, is it's almost like, I know I'm righteous in Christ, I know I'm righteous in my spirit, and that just kind of trumps everything. It's okay, I'm righteous in my spirit, I'm righteous in my spirit. Yes, you are righteous in your spirit. Yes, the Spirit of God dwells in you. But you never get so spiritual, you never get so strong that you lose the aspect of drawing near to God and him drawing near to you. Or as the Hebrew writer says, let's come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm going to a place. I'm drawing near. Again, it's not physical, geographical, but yet I'm engaging. Where I'm at now is not where I need to stay. I need to go someplace. I need to draw near to God. I need to come boldly. I need to draw near to God. This morning, I want to share some things with you about drawing near to God. And it's important as we're drawing near to God that we kind of almost revisit, take a fresh look at some ideas and concepts through the eyes of this personal walk that we have with him. Okay? Yes, I know I am righteous in my spirit, and I thank God for that. But there are so many other things the Bible says about living for him that we cannot neglect if we are going to have a strong, vital, living relationship with him. You know, somebody once said, I don't know who it was, but he said, if the only tool you have in your toolbox is a hammer, it's interesting how everything starts to look like a nail to you. It's what you know. And so you kind of accommodate everything. Well, I'm righteous in my spirit. I'm righteous. Yeah, praise God you are. But there's a whole lot more tools in your box that you have to work with. You're drawing near to God. Yes, you're righteous. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Yes, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you're still bidded to come, to draw near. This is talking about a personal walk with him. You know, he loves you. It's not just kind of some crossword puzzle where you're trying to solve the riddle and win the prize. It's a relationship. It's really personal. And there is nothing more satisfying than that relationship part of walking with the Lord, of hearing from him, and you know you heard from him. Praise God. That relationship. And so this morning, you know, I was kind of struggling about how to do this and phrase this title without, you know, being too weird or religious or whatever, and I just didn't know quite what to call this, so here it goes. Bungee cords, finger traps, and you. This is going to make a whole lot more sense at the end of the message, I guarantee you. It'll all come together. We're talking about drawing near to God. The scripture, canonized scripture for us New Testament Christians, telling us, come over here, and I'll draw near to you. Well, I know better than that. No, no. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm talking to spiritual people this morning. I'm talking to spiritual people who know who they are in Christ. Because the scripture, this is the language of our New Testament scripture. He's saying, draw near to me. So as we're talking about these concepts, there is a drawing near. When he's saying drawing near to me, he's saying there's a drawing near to God's word. I really want to, you know, I love kind of our little slogan of Door of Life. You know, basically it's where faith meets real life. We try to take these concepts, theological concepts, expressions or whatever, and we try to bring it down to some kind of practical everyday, okay, draw near to God, what does that mean? How do I do that in real life? Well, this is what we want to talk about this morning. And you know what? If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And you're not above that. You get it, and it's exciting. Praise God. You draw near to him, and he draws near to you. Praise God. One of the ways you draw near to him is that you draw near. Let me just kind of qualify one of the things. Like I said, 86, I got it. I've been walking in it. I've been walking in the revelation of the new creation for almost 30 years. Praise God. I've seen a lot of crazy things done with the revelation of the new creation. And thank God we can walk it out. It means exactly what the scripture says it means. Nothing more, nothing less. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are brand new in him. And as you are drawing near to him, you're drawing near to him knowing you're a new creation. But what does that mean in real life? You're drawing near by his word. His word. 1 Peter, I love this passage of scripture. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. You know, when I talk about the word, the Bible, and drawing near by the word of God, again, a lot of us, we already know the Bible's the word of God. And as we look at the word of God, a lot of times we can look at it, if we haven't been spending much time in the word, I could hold this up, and I could be holding up condemnation this morning. If you look at the Bible and say, oh, I know, oh, I should have been in there, oh man. Didn't do my devotion time. Oh, boy, it's been weeks, it's been months, it's been years, whatever, I don't care. Drawing near to God, in drawing near to God, there's a drawing near to his word. And when you realize the word of God is not here to condemn you at all. You know, the scripture tells us very clearly the word of God has been given to us to instruct us, to feed us, to encourage us in so many different ways, but it's inspired of God. This book is miraculous. There is no book on earth that comes under more scrutiny than this book. And if you spend time in this book, something happens to you. When you're feeling alone, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling confused, there's a jumble of emotions and thoughts, and it's hard to know, you know, where one thing ends and the other thing begins. But the Bible has something about it that is very different. It says, the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, spirit, joints, marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amplified says, the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing line of the breadth of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints, marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. A lot of times we get to the word of God and think, no, where am I going to read? I'm going to read that verse, and I'm going to get my answer. When we're drawing near to the word, the first thing we want to do is we want to draw near to the right part of that word. I'm mouthing in the way we think, okay? This is not the way you're supposed to think. But this is the way we tend to think. I got to find, is it that psalm? Is it that proverb? Is it the old? You know, where do I start? Okay, Lord, I'm going to draw near to your, where do I begin with this big book? The first thing that you got to realize is it's not about the chapter. It's not about finding that right verse. It's not about you just, you know, happening to get the right one, the right spot, as you're drawing near to the word. The most powerful thing about drawing near to the word is the word itself. The word has the ability to do that, to judge, to discern. Like I said, you're sitting with yourself in your own sense of lost emotion, confusion, hopelessness. You need clarity of thought. You need a soundness of mind. You need direction. The ability of that is in the word. So as I'm drawing near to the word, I'm not hoping to find the right spot. I'm drawing near to the word because it has that ability. In other words, let me put it this way. It's not that one verse or that one story or that one proverb that has that ability. The whole Bible has that ability. So as I'm drawing near to the word, I'm not anxious. I'm drawing near to the word because the word is full of power. And that discerning ability that's in the word, when that word gets in me, I know that that discerning ability gets in me. Now, the word of God, like I said, it may have been a while, depending, since you've really approached and spent time feeding on this word of God. And again, we're talking about drawing, kind of drawing near to God. And what does that mean in real life? There's a drawing near to his word. And let me just kind of say this up front. We talked a few weeks ago about the two U's, okay? There's the outward, Paul put it this way. He said, you know, the flesh lusts against the spirit, that outward man, the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other so that you can't do the things that you would. There's a part of you that just wants to do some fleshly bad stuff, if you've noticed. And there's another part of you that wants to do good, right stuff, you know? And so you got this war going on. And here's the bottom line as it relates to the two U's. Spiritual things are not exciting to that outward you, all right? This isn't like, yippee, I get to draw near to God in the word. The outward you just is not satisfied by those things. But let me say this too. The inward you is not satisfied by the flesh. In fact, when you flesh out, when you do that thing you shouldn't have done, the first thing you sense isn't the Holy Spirit, it's your spirit. Going, oh, that was wrong. That's not me. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. That's you. That's you. And so as we're saying, drawing near to God, and especially if it's been a while, this is something you're going to do by faith. The world has this glitzy, you know, that's why the scripture says. It says, you know, the stuff of the world, the glory of man, and the things that the flesh has to offer, it's like the flower of the grass. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. It's a very temporary thrill. And we're just kind of what kind of came to me is the other day I was trying to hook up kind of an older monitor to my computer. And it required this kind of a older monitor cable. You know, back in the late 90s, I had so many of them, I was tripping over them. And I don't know if I threw them all away or what, but I just couldn't find this older kind of a cable. And so I thought, oh, I got to go downstairs. You know, it's like I got to go downstairs and look through all that stuff because I knew I had this great big 55-gallon garbage bag of cords. And, you know, routers and little wireless phone hubs and all that stuff. You know, you probably got one of those yourself somewhere hidden away. And I'm digging through all this stuff and I'm thinking, wow, you know, 97, 98, 95, you know, all this. It's kind of like a journey through time. And I'm looking at it, it's like, and I'm thinking, you know, man, I spent money on this stuff, you know, and it was really just the amazing latest, greatest thing of the day. and I'm going through, and I'm literally probably sifting through hundreds, over $1,000 worth of computer stuff, peripherals, you know, and I'm looking for that one old style monitor cord, and I'm not finding it anywhere. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all those cords, my heart leapt because I saw a bungee cord. And I thought, I could use that. Everything else is junk. But that bungee cord all of a sudden was looking like, because the other day we had to get a generator for Lindsay's wedding, and I was looking for a bungee cord, and I could not find one from the back of my trunk to tote that thing around and tote in the lawnmower, and I've been just looking for one and never quite getting around to getting one, and there it was. It's like, oh, yes, I can use that bungee cord. And the thought struck me, I am looking at over $1,000 that I've poured into this stuff, and this one $2 bungee cord is what makes my heart leap. It has outlived the usefulness of all that stuff. You know, just kind of a striking thought. And as I got to think about it, I thought, you know, it really is an amazing, you know, thought. Because I thought, well, you know, because you know what I think now is, well, my phone. You know, this is the jewel of the day. You know, but then the Lord just prompted me. He said, you know, if you hold that bungee cord up next to your phone, and you add about 5-10 years to your phone, it's a museum piece. And you'll still be using that bungee cord to tote your lawnmower in your trunk. Boy, I thought, wow, that's amazing. The bungee cord. And this is what, I mean, wow. I mean, in fact, probably 5-10 years from now, I'll feel sorry for myself, wondering how I ever survived on this old piece of technology. Because the latest, greatest thing. Man, I mean, you got to think about it. I thought, man, if I hold that bungee cord up to about over half my office, plus 5-10 years, the bungee cord wins. And so you begin to realize stuff that just naturally, you know, doesn't seem like really beautiful or sexy or really kind of a big thing that, you know, people get all excited about. There's a lifespan and there's a longevity in the Word of God. And I just began to even get challenged in my spirit. You know, what is it that I'm going through in my life? What is it? What glitzy fleshly thing is it, or thing that would distract me that I could hold my Bible up next to? And this word of the Lord endures forever. It is amazing. I can't tell you how many times Psalm 1 has delivered me. I think I got it. That's my next slide up right up here. Oh, yeah, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That psalm is just amazing. I don't care what I'm going through, that first verse reads my mail and nails it in one way or the other. Counsel the ungodly, fleshly things, critical spirit, whatever. But blessed is the man who delights in the law. I have been delivered from fears meditating on this scripture. I've been delivered from all kinds of just different things, inner turmoil and confusion, as I've just meditated on this scripture. And here's the cool thing. The scripture, it's not like a classic that I retire. I know in my future, I'm going to pull on the bungee cord of this scripture again and again and again and again. The Word of God is like that. So when I say the Word of God and drawing near to the Word, we can have a nostalgia of the Word. We can remember some emotional inspiration from certain scriptures of the Word, but it's bigger than that. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. As I'm drawing near to the Word, I am drawing near, praise God, to the truth. I'm drawing near to the truth of God's word that makes me free. I'm drawing near to that discerning power, that discerning ability that is in the word of God. Again, it's almost like we've got to, by faith, get rid of the old paradigms and realize the Bible is not here to condemn me. The Bible is here to bless me, to feed me, to strengthen me. This was the attitude of the Proverbs writer. He said it this way. He said, "My son, keep my words and treasure." Again, it's kind of like that Psalm 1 guy. He delighted in the law of the Lord. Proverbs 7 guy, "Treasure my commands within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin." You can see these guys had almost this love relationship with the Word of God. It's like they're in love with the Word. I don't know when the last time you've called wisdom your sister, but that's scriptural. What's the point? The point is, the Word is a safe place. Draw near to the Word. Don't get hung up on where to start. Don't get hung up on, you know, all the different things. You just, by faith, begin to approach God in His Word, and that Word of God, it is amazing how that Word of God will begin to speak to you, because the author of the Word is the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of you, and there's just something about when you begin to go to the Word, the Spirit of God in you just gets stirred up, and He'll begin to show you and reveal things to you in the Word. So we're talking about drawing near to God. God's already in me by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we know that. But there's a drawing near to God through His Word. It sounds profound, simple, but when you just spend some time reading your Bible, it draws you closer to His words, closer to His heart. You know, you begin to think His thoughts. There is something that we would say that is a word that kind of binds this together. It's called fellowship, all right? Do you know, just because you're married to somebody doesn't mean you're in fellowship with them. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're in fellowship with the Lord. I can firsthand testify. I know what it's like to be a Christian and in fellowship with God and out of fellowship with God. The effect of the Word is, as you begin to read the Word, it starts those gears of fellowship. Where do I start? Where do I begin to talk? Well, just begin with His Word to you. Begin by listening to His words. It might provoke questions where you can, in prayer, ask God, "What do you mean by that?" It gets you talking. It gets you listening. Drawing near to His Word. Word is a safe place. Not only that, but there's a drawing near to God's love. Again, these are kind of big concepts. You could spend months and months just preaching on the concept themselves, but we're talking very specifically about God's love as it relates to drawing near to Him. The first side of God's love that we realize is first Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? I am persuaded neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, we can hear that and hear that and hear that. We got to really believe that. It is just really true. It is absolutely true. Don't ever allow yourself to become inoculated to God loves you. God loves you. He loves you in the context of your failures and everything you've ever done wrong. That love is absolutely amazing. Keep this thought in mind as you're drawing near to God, as you're drawing near to His love. Where your sin has abounded, His grace has much more abounded. Have you ever felt kind of locked out of that close fellowship with God because of sin, because of failure? His grace has much more abounded. It's not even close. Whatever you're going through can't separate you from the love of God. There's a drawing near to His love. And the great way to do this, instead of just trying to sometimes believe that it's true, one of the great ways that you can do this, this is a practical way, faith meets real life, is you go back to the cross and you say, Lord, you died on that cross for my sins. That happened. It's a finished fact. And I'm going to enjoy heaven with you forever and ever and ever. You know that Jesus tells the story of the parable of the unforgiving servant. His master forgave him $1 million, then he turns around and strangles his brother for 20 bucks. The thing that the unforgiving servant didn't do is he didn't go back and stop and reflect and appreciate and enjoy all that his master had forgiven him. Somehow he just lost sight of that. And one of the things that we do as we're drawing near to his love is say, you know, Lord, I don't have it all figured out yet. I'm growing, but I know one thing for sure. You love me. You're for me. Praise God. Drawing near to that fact. Here's another big part of drawing near to God. And as we're talking about drawing near to God, we're talking about drawing near to God many times when your heart is in that place of confusion and despair. His love, you know, it's come up a few times this morning in worship, in the Word, but that love is a two-edged sword. That love cuts two ways. This is one way it cuts. Praise God. It cuts for your gracious healing and wholeness. But here's another way it cuts. You've heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to the other to him also. You heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Here's the other side of the sword as it relates to love. He has this unconditional love for us, and he's given us this love in our hearts, this love charge to love people the same way he has loved us, to return grace and mercy. Now, I'm going to just talk a little bit from experience. I'm confused. I'm frustrated. I'm drawing near to God. I'm coming into that throne of grace, and I'm just wanting to be in fellowship with God. I receive his love, and pretty soon as I do that, as I'm looking and I'm beholding all God has done for me, the Spirit of God, who will lead you into paths of righteousness, all of a sudden will begin to deal with you about forgiveness. And letting some things go. You know, 1 John says that he who hates his brother walks in darkness and he stumbles about and he doesn't know where he's going. And a lot of times as we're trying to draw near to God, we're in that condition. I'm stumbling around, I don't get it. We don't even see it. Well, first things first, he loves you. He's going to remind you of his love for you. He's going to refresh you in his love for you. But then he'll lead you. He will lead you to forgive. He'll lead you to forgive. And again, it's almost kind of like, yeah, the Bible, I know I should read the Bible. I'm not reading the Bible enough, da-da-da. No, Bible's a safe place, full of the treasures. I'm drawing near. It's going to get me talking to God again. Praise God. Here's kind of another concept, too, the love of God. I know, I'm supposed to forgive. I'm a Christian. I got to forgive, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When you're drawing near to God, it's different than that. It's totally a different perspective. There's a reason Jesus puts it this way. He says, I tell you, don't resist an evil person. He who slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. He even goes on to say, you shall love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor, hate your neighbor. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who pray. That's just the total natural opposite of what we would naturally think. And the illustration that came to me is, and this is just where I guess we get the finger traps come out of it. But when you look at these little toys, and these are just kind of little kid toys, I think they're called Chinese finger traps. But what they are is they're a little trick. You know, you put a finger in each side, and as you try to get your fingers out, it just grips hard, and you just can't get them out. The harder you pull, the harder it grips. And this is just the way offense works. You got two involved, and there's an offense in between. And there is a bitterness and a backbiting. You're going to say that, I'm going to say this. You're going to say that, I'm going to say this. You're going to do that, I'm going to do this. And it's like the more you grip, and you do it, pretty soon, things break. Relationships break. trust breaks, things break. Why is that? That's the effective working of resisting. The reason why Jesus tells you not to resist an evil person like that is simply because resisting doesn't work. It doesn't. It's not, I'm a guy, I gotta forgive. It doesn't work. Have you discovered that it doesn't work yet? So, Jesus has a different way. He says, instead of resisting an evil person, instead of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, he says, what I want you to do, he says, I want you to love. So you're not resisting. You're actually proactively going toward a person. You're loving him. You're blessing him. You're doing good. You're praying for him. And in that, it loosens the grip. When you go the other way, it actually loosens it. But if I resist, it's tightening it. But when I love, bless, do good, there's spiritual law involved. And praise God, you go free. Now, the other person can do what they want with it. All right? The point is, they don't have to go free for you to go free. Isn't that good news? That your freedom is not dependent on their making the right decisions to go free. You're free. I pray for you, but I'm free. There's a reason as you're drawing near to God that he leads you to forgive. He wants you to go free. He wants you to go free. And of course, that person, if they choose to keep backbiting, there's going to be a temptation to want to get drawn back in. But no, you can say, no, I free. And if you do get drawn back in, it's not too late. Just go free again. Pray. You may go through this a few times before you finally get it and go, no, after about 20 times, I think I'm just going to not go through that again. I know what I'm going to do anyway. Praise God. Amen. But there is a going free that God wants. Why? Because this is, he tells us to do that because that's what works in the Spirit. Something happens. There's power in love. There's power. The world mocks it. Every movie, TV show, I'm going to hit the other cheek too. I'm going to walk over and take it. There is power in it. There is power in that love. Now, this isn't about a person controlling your life. Actually, when you're in this, they're controlling your life. This is what it means to get walked on. All right? When you begin to go the other way, then you're going free. Okay? Praise God. There's a freedom. And the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll lead you into that direction. And as we're talking about it, it kind of draws us into the final aspect that I just want to get into, and we'll just finish with this. You're not only drawing near to God, you're not only drawing near to the love of God, but you're drawing near to you. Remember how we said there's two yous there? Galatians says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lust against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other so that you do not do the things that you wish to use. All right? And he goes on to bullet point what these two yous look like. As you keep reading in Galatians, work of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. He says, you get it. You know where I'm going. In the spirit side, he says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the two yous. That one you wants to do the top stuff, the other you wants to do the bottom stuff. And that's the wrestling match that we deal with. But here's the cool thing. And this is the amazing thing about drawing near to God and him drawing near to you. You're not only drawing near to his word, you're not drawing near to his love and to his spirit. You're drawing near. Sometimes people will say, you're kind of, I use the touch, getting in touch with your whatever side, I don't care what you want to say. But you are getting in touch with the real you, with the new creation. And this is really cool, because as you begin to get close to God, see, when you're out here in the flesh, you got all kinds of anger, hatred, you know, fist in the, you know, but you get close to God, and all of a sudden, you begin to start asking some questions, and all of a sudden, you're asking from this new creation. There's your very personality is affected as you begin to get close and draw near to God, the way you think. There, again, part of you that's that way, part of you that's that way. Somebody wrote a cute little poem one day, a quip, said, two natures beat within my breast. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. Okay? And so as you're in that push and pull between these two natures, and you're drawing near to God, you discover a very funny thing on your way to getting close to God again. You trip over yourself. You find you. And all of a sudden, there's an eye of the tiger that's in your eye. Of God, things God's called you to do, and all of a sudden, something awakens in you. You. Yes, I know I'm righteous in my spirit. Praise God, I am. But I'm drawing near to God, and I'm finding things. He's drawing near to me. I'm drawing near to my inward man. You can put it that way. Amplified says, if any person's engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, new creature altogether, the old previous mortal self, conditions passed away, behold, the fresh, the new has come. You're finding it. But you are having to get, oh, the food of that word of God. It's all working together, the love of God, and you're beginning to discover yourself. Have any of you guys seen that that Snickers commercial? It's You're Not Yourself. I think it was some guys in the backyard, they're playing football, and all of a sudden in the middle of all these rough and tumble guys, you see Betty White. And all of a sudden she just gets decked and tackled. And one of his buddies come up to, you know, just looks like Betty White, says, hey, man, what's going on out there? You're playing like Betty White. And all of a sudden, he takes a bite of his Snicker bar, and he turns from Betty White into this husky, normal guy and says, you're not you when you're hungry, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, he goes back to it. And that's kind of like it's the same way. You're not you when you're walking in the flesh. You're not you when you're yielded to the flesh. But when you start to eat some good stuff, you find that you're becoming you again. All of a sudden, those things that you remember about you wanting to do for God and live for God start starting to come back. Starting to get stirred up in some things. And this is where this stuff happens. Love, hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit is in there. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. You're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. If you could just imagine the love of God. Praise God, the completeness of God, the new creation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All strength for all things through Christ who empowers me. Ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You see love, completeness, sufficiency, strength that's in him. And as you're drawing near to him, you're drawing near to those things that you've always known were in you. You've known the theology of it. But as you begin to draw near by faith in your relationship, all of a sudden you're perceiving, I can forgive because the love of God is there. I'm not afraid of certain things because of Christ who strengthens me. And it's not the theology of it. You're beginning to perceive what you've known theologically. Praise God. There's a drawing near to God. You're drawing near. You're drawing near to you. You're drawing near to what God has truly done on the inside of you. So, you know, this morning we're talking about really drawing near to God, bungee cord, finger traps, and you. What do we mean? Bungee cords. It's one of those things where the thing that always doesn't look the prettiest, seem the most significant in the face of all the glitz and glamour of the day, there is something that endures, that has an enduring ability about it. God's word. Has it been a while since you've talked to God? You don't have to think up a clever thing. Just start in the Word of God. Just start reading the Word of God. It is powerful. You know, I, you know, one of the great places to read, if you are just some general guidance, is the New Testament, those New Testament epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote, and that the other, you know, James and John and Peter. Those are some great places to feed in the Word of God. Another thing you can do, if you're just kind of looking for some general guidance, take Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. Begin reading a chapter of Proverbs every day based on the calendar day of the month. That's kind of another little guideline for just a place to start. But let me just kind of tell you, as I'm kind of throwing out possible starting points, you're not locked in. You're probably not going to end up there. But don't be afraid. There is power in this Word of God to get you thinking right. Your ability to be honest with yourself, you don't got it. You get it from the Word of God. You get it as you read it and go, wow, wow. Or, man, I forgot that scripture was in there. Yeah, that's really true. It's just as you're reading, there's a miracle that happens as you're reading the Word of God. Drawing near to God's love, receiving His love for you, and answering the call to love, to bless, to do good, and release those offenses. What happens, this will be an amazing thing, when you forgive and that darkness goes, there will be other things you will see that you've been praying about. There will be answers you will see. Because that unforgiveness, it's like a darkness, it's like a sheet. The sheet goes away and all of a sudden you're seeing things that are right there. Praise God. There is a love. God isn't doing it to be hard for our kids have a word, they have a phrase they call trolling. All right? Come on, Mom, you're trolling. It kind of means you're provoking, you know? When God tells you to forgive, He's not trolling you. He's not trying to provoke you, and He loves you. When He's telling you to forgive, He cares about you. He wants to get you free from the trap. He wants you to know that, man, we can go deep in this walk. You can see more. And then finally, just drawing near to you. Drawing near to you. You are righteous in your spirit. You got a mortal body. But the thing that's in flux is your soul. What you're identifying with. That's not fixed. That is a daily maintenance job to identify with that inward man. And when you begin drawing near to Him, the identity begins to swing to the inward man. And you begin to discover again yourself and that power and that grace. And all of a sudden you're talking to God. And it's like, wow, this is really cool. I like my walk with the Lord. I like who He's made me to be. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the amazing work that You've done on the inside of us. It is just a supernatural work. We are children of God, born again, Spirit of God living in us, righteous, just all the amazing in Him realities that You've accomplished in us through the new birth. But Father God, we also know that there is a drawing near to You. We can't just rest on good theology. We need to engage You. We need to draw near. We need, Lord, to feed on Your word and not just get a fresh word in church, but get a fresh word in our own prayer closet, in our own secret place time, to have that sense, not just to know You know the number of hairs on my head, but to really perceive those thoughts toward me as I spend time with You, Lord. To let go of things that I can't let go of outside of my time with You, but inside my time with You, I can do all things. Oh, there's strength. There's grace. Lord, I need You. Every hour, I need You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I draw near to You today. I draw near to Your word, precious word of God, familiar scriptures. You never get old. You're my sister. You're my nearest kin. I love You. I embrace You. I look to You for freedom and deliverance. Lord Jesus, You love me. I believe it. I receive it. And I release it. By faith, I bless those who curse me. I do good to them. And I'm free. I'm released from offense by the power of Your love. And Lord Jesus, You've made me unique. I'm your very own workmanship. As I look to you, I see me. I see what you've done in me. I want to see it fully, Lord, and walk out every good thing you've ordained for me. Lord Jesus, today's my day. The day I'm calling on your name. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.